It didn't come by FedEx. It didn't come by DHL. It wasn't delivered by UPS from afar, foreign country, or Amazon Prime. Did you know that the answer often is closer than you think? The people thought the answer was far away, so they were left with a bitter pool. Ever been there? Where you think it's impossible. The answer's a far away. It's somewhere I can't access it. And God would say to you, no, it's closer than you think.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Granero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. How many times have you prayed and prayed about something, but your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling? Is God out there? Is he listening? Is he ever going to answer? Well, don't get discouraged, my friend. Don't give up. The answer is closer than you think. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Answer is Closer Than You Think.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the critical component to our faith called the way we think. Because it should be changing the way we think, our faith, and vice versa, really. But first, I was going through McDonald's this morning, and I usually get like a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit before I come here in the morning early. And I was reminded of a friend of mine, a pastor friend, that received a letter from an elderly man in his congregation about his trip through McDonald's. And I'd like to read it to you. And it just kind of tells you how different people think. It goes like this. I am 81 years old. I was in McDonald's drive-thru recently. I guess I was taking too long placing my order because the lady behind me began leaning on her horn and mouthing ugly things out the window. Well, I tried to hurry, but she kept on beeping her horn. So when I got to the first window where you pay, well, I paid for my order and I paid for hers as well. Then when I was moving to the second window where you receive your order, well, I guess the lady in the first window, that cashier, must have told that lady what I had done because as I was moving up, she leaned out the window with a smile and waved to me saying, thank you, thank you. She's probably embarrassed for the fact that I had repaid her rudeness with kindness. Well, when I got to the second window, I showed the server both receipts and I took her food as well as mine. Now she has to go to the back of the line and start all over again. So the moral of the story is this. Don't blow your horn at old people because we've been around a long time. The way you think. We're going to talk about that. Because how you steward your thoughts will either activate or deactivate your faith. How you steward your thoughts. Because your thoughts are something you've got to steward. It can hold you hostage. It can make you think that you're doing something right when it's wrong. And you have to steward it. Just a few weeks ago, I came out of church and I've got a white car. And as I went to the parking lot, these two tall guys look like athletes from the University of Oregon sitting on my hood. And I thought, what in the world are they doing? So I walked up to them and I was going to, you know, take them because I think, well, maybe last year I could have or a couple of years ago. But I thought, no, these guys will just put me into a pretzel. So I thought I'd better be kind. I had to steward my thoughts, you know. So instead of telling them what was on my mind, I thought I'd say something nice. I said, hey, you guys need a ride? And they said, oh, no. And they jumped off the car. Oh, no. We're good. I said, no, I can give you a ride. Where do you live? He said, oh, just, you know, down there, down the street, about 10, 15 minutes. I said, I'm happy to give you a ride. And they said, no. So I said, okay, no problem. And I thought, okay, see you guys later. Have a great day. Glad you come to New Hope. No problem. So I get in the car, open the door, close the door, and my seat is back to like a 6'4" kind of person. I couldn't even reach the pedals. I thought these guys, they got in my car and moved the seat back. Who in the world are they? I thought, oh, be careful. So I moved the seat up and I looked and they've got stuff hanging from the mirror. I thought, what is going on? And I looked and the upholstery, instead of being white, it was black. It wasn't even my car. It was their car. I got out and I said, excuse me, this isn't my car. They said, yeah, it's our car. And I looked and two spaces down was my car, exactly the same. And the guy looked at me and laughed and said, we were just wondering how long you were going to take this joke. I didn't have the heart to tell him it was no joke. Your mind can play tricks on you. And sometimes what you really think is real is not real at all. You know, when you come to Christ, your spirit is regenerated. But your mind has not been regenerated. You have to train your mind. Listen carefully. When you come to Christ, He gives you salvation. Salvation is free, not because of what you do, but because of what He's done. How many of you are glad for that? Good. So salvation is free. But now I want you to listen very carefully. If you miss everything else, catch this. Salvation is free. Everything else costs. Character is going to cost you something. Having good relationships is going to cost you. Humility, a servant heart, a willingness to be a man of God or a woman of God, purity of mind, the way you think, to develop the mind of Christ. Because see, when you come to Christ, you carry with you a bag of your mind, as it were, the thoughts that have been trained and schooled by the world. And so though your spirit is regenerated, you still have a mind that's been trained by the world. That's why the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, it says this, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you know that you will never know what's good and acceptable and perfect if you don't renew your mind? Let me draw a brain for you. Here's a brain. Brain stem, brain, eyeball, nose, mouth. All right. Now, this is a brain. Sort of. And so you have different creases in your brain because of habits. So let's say someone does something and you get mad and it works. That person goes, whoa, and backs off. So you have a little crease in your brain there. Now, when someone else does something quite similar, the same reaction. And then this little scratch turns into a crevice because you run that pathway so many times. Pretty soon, that crevice is a chasm. It's like a rut in the road of a foot deep. And it becomes your reputation. Watch out for Joe over there. He's got a temper. Watch out for Sally over there. She gets mad really fast. Now, after a while, this becomes you. But when you come to Christ, your heart gets changed, but your mind still needs to be renewed. So the Bible says, James says, Let each person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Yeah, but fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Okay. And so the Bible gives you a different pathway. Now, when you travel this pathway, you're going to have contention with that old way. And like a bicycle going over a rut, you'll want to go back into that old rut. But you've got to hang on to the handlebars because you are setting your mind on things above. Because I want to access the faith that God has given to me. So I hang on to my handlebars and I walk through it. Is it easy? No. No, it's not, because you're still in a development stage. You're developing your mind to have the mind of Christ. That's why the scripture constantly speaks of that. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the book of Ephesians, it speaks of the armor of God. And the three right at the end is the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Very important pieces of your armament. One is a helmet of salvation, the way we think, And then you have another thought that you, a pattern that you've run in for many, many years. And the Lord says, no, we're going to go this way. No, we're going to go this way. You got to hang on to your handlebars until this erodes. Erosion takes place. And now you're starting to think like Jesus. And now you're developing the mind of Christ. How? By the Word of God. The Word of God is that which will change the way you think. As you tell your mind, no, you don't get to think that way. You get to think this way. And the Word of God starts to train your mind and you start to renew the spirit of your mind. That doesn't come automatically. Set your mind on things above. Be vigilant of sober spirit, for the devil, the adversary, goes about like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. So you watch for that. One of the reasons why Satan targets your thinking is because if you allow your thinking to go renegade, he'll hold you hostage to renegade thinking. Did you know that I don't let my mind tell me how to think? I tell my mind how to think. If I'm going down the road and a stray thought comes into my mind that's like, no, it's lusty or whatever, I sometimes just shake my head like this. Nope, I'm not going there. Nope, not thinking about that. Nope, I'm not giving that another thought. I just don't. So if you see me going down the road, like shaking my head, you know something's going on. Like, ooh, that boy's fighting a battle. No, I'll tell, because I want to think biblically. And so those cross currents are happening. And I'm saying, I'm going to do that. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, says, be vigilant and sober minded, because the devil goes about like a prowling lion seeking those whom he may devour. Satan wants to control your thinking, your imagination. Listen to this. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. If he can get control the way you think, he controls pretty much everything about you, doesn't he? I have a friend, his name is Ken Davis. He's an illusionist, and he was having a kind of a presentation. So he invited me to his show, and he's amazing. He had a bowling ball. He put a velvet cloth over it. And he said, now watch this. He said with his other hand. And he said, I'm going to pull out of the sky and do this. And he pulls this velvet cloth off and there's a dove that flies. And I thought, how'd you do that? So I had dinner with him afterward and I said, Ken, how'd you do that? He said, oh, that's an expensive trick. That'll cost you $5,000 if I reveal this to you. I said, no, come on. How in the world did you do that? And he laughed and he said, Wayne, if I can get you to look where I want you to look, I can do whatever I want to with your mind. If I can get you to look at your problems, setbacks, why things, the absence of God's presence. Why would he let this happen? Why would he? He can do anything with your mind. And he holds us hostage. Remember, the way you steward your thoughts will either activate or deactivate your faith. Some time ago, I was at an anorexia unit up in the hospital because one of our college kids in the church, one of the girls was suffering through bulimia and then anorexia. And so she was there and the nurse's station called me and said, would you come and talk with her and visit her? So I went up there and she's just as skinny as a rail. And the nurse said, would you have her comply more with our diet? Because sometimes she really fights against it. And so I was talking with her and she said, well, Pastor, I'm just so fat. I don't want to eat what they're asking me to eat. I'm just already so fat. And I said, honey, look at yourself in the mirror. She was like skinny as a rail. And she said, no, I'm not. I'm just, and I thought, what? So I talked to the nurse and I said, why does she really, really think that she's obese? The nurse said, you know, when you rob yourself of certain nutrients and certain nutrients are robbed of your brain, your mind actually sees something that's a lie and you believe it. And I thought, oh, there's a lot of bulimic Christians, I bet, that we see things because we don't have the spiritual nutrients necessary of the Word of God feeding our minds. So we're running old patterns again and again, and we're wondering why everything is, we're just struggling. And Satan has us where he wants us. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, remember, you got to battle this. Because salvation's free, but everything else costs. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high or lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this next part, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when my thought, your thoughts go off, you bring it into obedience. You hold it captive. It's no, you don't think that way. You think this way. And pretty soon you're starting to train or renewing your mind. That's why the scripture says, set your mind on things above and not on things beneath. How you think. I love an old poem by a guy named Walter Winkle. He says, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but don't think you can, you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger, faster man. Sooner or later, the man who wins, the one who thinks he can. That's why Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So is he. You see, your thinking and how you steward your thoughts will either activate or deactivate. Well, what about all the problems I face all the time? Well, it's not the problems. It's how you define them. Well, what do you mean? You see, your eye doesn't see. Your eye simply projects an ocular image to your mind. It's your mind that defines it as good or bad, adventurous, or something that's going to destroy me. It's going to be a challenge, but I can win, or it's going to be an obstacle that's impossible. The answer is closer than you think. And so we have to think correctly. Scripture says it this way, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is clear or healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is unhealthy, not just your eyeball, but the way you see things, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? So he's saying, if I see things up, it'll help me and there'll be light, but there'll be times you're going to come into some pretty dark situations. So what do? That's where the word of God will help you so much. Because as I said in Psalm 119, 130, it says, the entrance of your word gives light. And when you have a dark time in your life, there'll be one source of light that you have to go to, the word. Why do I say that? Because every problem you're ever going to face has already been faced by somebody in the Bible. And they've left clues behind as to how you can navigate those problems when you hit them, those dark times when you face them. My best friends are in the Bible, and so are yours. And they await your audience. They have things to share with you, light to shine upon some dark situations that you might be going through. But if you never visit them, their words will remain just in potential form, never to be heard. So we've got to visit the Word of God as often as you can. So here at New Hope, we have something called the SOAP Journal or the Life Journal that helps you work your way through the Bible. Can I encourage you to find out about that? There's a book written by an obscure author called The Divine Mentor up in our bookstore. It should have been a New York Times bestseller, but it didn't get past Springfield. But if you'd get that, that will help you to develop a daily time in the Word. And today, we're going to visit with Moses. Moses is in the middle of the desert, 3-day journey from Egypt. The people don't have water. Ever not drink water for 3 days? Gets you pretty thirsty. People are desperate. They begin to complain. They see an oasis up in the distance. They go to that, and the pool or the lake is toxic, arsenic. Can't drink it. And they grumble. Let's get into the story here. I'll read a line, and then the rest will come up on the board, and we'll read it together. It says, then Moses led the people, and this is out of Exodus 15. He led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur, or the Sinai, and they traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Would you read it with me? Go. And when they came to the oasis of Marah, The water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. And then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him. He what? The Lord? A piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water. And the water was made good to drink. The Lord what? Showed him. Did you know that that piece of wood that changed the water from bitter to sweet was right under their nose? They probably stepped over it a dozen times. But God didn't send him a magical stick. God didn't send him some divine rod or something that would change the water from bitter to sweet. He showed him. It didn't come by FedEx. It didn't come by DHL. It wasn't delivered by UPS from afar, foreign country, or Amazon Prime. He showed him. Did you know that the answer often is closer than you think? The people thought the answer was far away, so they were left with a bitter pool. Ever been there? Where you think it's impossible. The answer's a far away. It's somewhere. I can't access it. And God would say to you, no, it's closer than you think.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, The Answer is Closer Than You Think, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. When we pick up tomorrow, we'll be looking at the life of Moses, a guy who may be more like you than you think. You won't want to miss tomorrow's message. In fact, here is a little taste of what you're in store for.
Would you remember this, that God loves you and me so much that everything he does because he loves us. Even allows us to go through obstacles because he's already given us the faith to overcome. And if you will, if you'll think right, you'll come through better, not bitter.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, have an amazing day as you walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. God bless you and aloha.